Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome to today's Daf Yomi Nida Daf Ayin. Let us start on Samach Tes Amud Beis, around 10 lines from the bottom at the beginning of the sugya. Tana Rabbanan. Shnei Mosar Dvorim Sholu Anshe Alexandria Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. There were 12 things that the people from Alexandria in Egypt asked of Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. What were they? Gimel Divrei Chachma. 3 were in matters regarding Chachma, questions in Halacha. Gimel Divrei Haggadah. 3 were regarding Drush. Gimel Divrei Burus. 3 were irrelevant, emptiness, silly things. Gimel Divrei Derech Eretz. The final 3 were regarding advice of matters of Derech Eretz, how to conduct your life. Says the Gemara, what were the 3 Divrei Chachma? The first one was as follows. Hazov, v'hazova, v'hanida, v'yaledes, v'matzora, shemesu, any of these 5 tmeim who were mes, admasai metamen b'masa. Until what point will they be metame b'masa? If a Torah should carry any of these 5 tmeim, or an object will carry them, until what point can they be metame b'masa? Now obviously we're not speaking about the regular, ordinary tumas masa. Even a mes is metame tumas masa. However, what we're referring to here is a specialized tumas masa that is applied specifically to these type of tmeim. This tumas masa is called tumas even misama, when there's a heavy, immobile boulder that is not meant to be moved, and a zav or etc., all the other ones are sitting on one of these boulders, and someone is to carry them through the boulder, or there's an object lying underneath. Regarding tumas meis, that is not considered a masa, because this is not the usual, typical way of carrying something with a heavy, immobile boulder. However, a zav, etc., in their case, there's added chumra, astringency, that they are metame b'masa, even when they are placed on top of an even mesam. Now, you would tend to think this is only applicable mechayim. As long as they're alive, they have a status of a zav and a zav. However, la'achar misa, once they die, they're simply mason, they're ordinary mason, and do not have the halacha of Evan Masama. However, midrabbanan, the Rabbanan made a gzera that perhaps any of these people, Zav and Azav, etc., will perhaps faint and appear to have died, and the observer will say, well, they're already mace, and therefore they're not mitami but Evan Masama. In reality, they're still alive. So therefore, the Chazal made a takana, a gzera, that they're still mitami. Be'evan Mesama, even after Misa, until they get to the point that it is evident, that it is obvious to all, that they have indeed passed away. So this was their question. Until what point they were aware of Takanas Chazal? They said, until what point is a Zav and a Zav, etc., Metame, with the special Masa that is applicable to them? Amar Lahem, Ad Shiyomoik HaBasar. Until the flesh decays, when it's obvious that they died, and there is no room for Gzera of a fainted person, who is obviously looks totally different than the state of Misa. The second question they asked him was, Bas Mishulachas Mahi L'Kuhuna. We know that if a person gives a get and his wife remarries, then afterwards, even if the second husband gives a get or passes away, the first husband may not retake his wife, may not remarry his grusha that is called Machzeh Grusha. Now, if somebody does go ahead and is Masa Grusha Asoy, what is the status, what is the halachic status of the child? Is the child Pasul L'Kuhuna or not? Bas Mishulachas, Mahi L'Kuhuna. What is the halacha of a daughter of such a marriage? Is she Pasul L'Kuhuna or not? Mi Amrinon Kavachayma, do we say that we can derive with a Kavachayma from a similar case? Uma Alman L'Kuhin Gadol. We have a kavachim. We find that an almana who marries a kohen gadol, we know that a kohen gadol may not marry an almana, and this is a very specific iser directed dafka at a kohen gadol, a kohen headed may marry an almana. So it's not considered an iser hashave b'koil. It is not equally applicable to all the yidden. Still, and all we find that b'na pogum. If an almana is to marry a kohen gadol, the product of this marriage, the b'na, is pogum. He's tainted. So we find, even though there is a restriction on the, it was a limited iser, it's only a limited iser to a kohen gadol, nevertheless, it has very drastic ramifications. But not pogum. Certainly then, zu, in our case, of a mishulachas, she is surah shaveh b'koil. It is an equal isur that is applicable to everybody, whether a kohen, whether a levi, whether Yisrael. Certainly, ein din shebna pogam. For sure, the child will be a pogam, will be tainted, and will be pasul le kahuna, to marry a kohen. That is one side of the coin. A dilma, perhaps, they propose, the people from Alexandria, a dilma, ma la almana le kohen gadol. We can't learn this halacha with a kavachomer from almana le kohen gadol. Why? Because we find a chumrah, we find a stringency by almana le kohen gadol. What is that? Shehi atzum is chalelas. The almana herself, I mean the wife herself, becomes a schal. She becomes affected by the marriage. So certainly, we can understand that the chilul, the psul, will carry over from the almana over to the child. However, in our case, where a person remarries his grusha, in this case, the isha herself will not become a schalel. And therefore, one may question whether there is a psul that is applied to the child at all. That was the question they proposed to him. They were evidently learned people. And they presented their question pretty longish, based on very solid arguments. So this was the question they asked him, is a bas mishulachas pasul l'kuhuna or not? So he responded to them, Omer lehen, hi toyeva ve'im boneo toyeven. In the pasuk of Machzik Rishasai, the Torah says, ki toyeva hi, she is a toyeva, she is a domination. We make a diuk, hi, that dafka, specifically the isha is a toyeva, but not the children. There is no psul that carries to the children, and the child is certainly still kasher l'kahuna. So that was the second dvar chachma that they got a response from Yeshua ben Chananya for. The third child they asked him was a little bit more complicated. This is the story. Shnei mitzayroin shnis arvu korbanisein zebezeh. We know that a mitzayra, when he is completing his tahara and he needs to bring korbanos, so he needs to bring a set of korbanos, an oila, a chatas, and an asham. Now, if we have two mitzayroim that both brought their korbanos, each one had a full set of an oila, chatas, and an asham, and somehow their korbanos got mixed up, Nisarvu carbon is saying zebezeh. We don't know which carbon belongs to which mitzvah. Now, ordinarily speaking, this wouldn't pose much of a problem. Rashi explains, the kohen would simply take the carbonus and remark over them l'shem mishahu, with the kavana that each carbon should be applied and should be oyle l'ratzon for the proper owner. However, there are two additional factors that occurred in this story, which makes the scenario a little bit more complex. Again, shnei mitzayron shnis arvo korbanisein zebezeh v'korev karbonos l'echad mehem. One of them, one of the sets of the karbonos, were karev, were already brought on the mizbeach. And then umeis echad mehem. One of the mitzayron passed away, he was meis. Hasheni ma teheyolav. What does the surviving mitzayron do? How does he bring his karbonos? Now, let's examine the shayla. We have three karbonos. A oila, a chatas, and asham. And we were already karev, we were makrev one set of karbonis. Now, the surviving mitzvah, regarding the oila, there's no problem. Meaning, even if the karbonis that were already karev were actually his karbonis, see, the problem is we're not sure whose karbonis were karev. Perhaps it belonged to the mitzvah that died. Perhaps the karbonis that were karev were actually his. The surviving mitzvah is karbanis. So now, regarding an oila, it's not really a problem. Why? Because even say that the oila that was already karev was actually his karban, he may still bring another oila. He can bring an oila and say, look, if I'm a mechuyev the oila, if I haven't yet brought an oila, this is my oila. If the oila that was already karev was actually my karban, so I was already yaitza the karban oila, so this oila is an adava, simply a donation. So there's no issue with the carbon oila. However, regarding the chatas and the asham, it gets a little bit more complex. Why? Because we have a halacha that a chatas shemesu ba'aleho lemisa azla. You may not be makir of a chatas whose owner has passed away. So in this case here, we don't know who was the owner of this chatas. There's a chatas standing in front of us. We don't know who the owner is. Perhaps this chatas belongs to the meis, belongs to the mitzvah who already passed away. So you can't just be makir of it. Can't say, well, let's assume that it belongs to the surviving mitzvah and it's his chatas. No, there's a strong possibility that this chatas belongs to the meis, and the chatas that was already karev was actually belonging to the surviving Mitzirah. He already had his Chatas Karev. And this Chatas that's standing in front of us belongs to the mace. So you can't be marker of it. At the same time, the surviving Mitzirah can't bring a Chatas. He can't assume that the Chatas that was Karev was his. Maybe not. He can't go ahead and bring another Chatas. Can't bring a Chatas Nadava. So he's stuck. What should he do? So that was the Shaila they asked him. What should the Mitzirah do now? Amar Lahem, I have a simple solution. He goes and he writes a document, he writes, gives away his properties to somebody else. Faviani. And now, as a result of that, he is an Ani, he's a poor man. What does an Ani Mitzirah do? Asher Mitzirah, a wealthy Mitzirah, brings a Chatas Behema. An Ani Mitzirah brings a Chatas Oif, it brings a bird. Now, a Chatas Oif may be brought ala Safik. This is a sugya elsewhere in Shas that explains what is the difference between the two types of chatois. The conclusion is that a chatas behema one may not bring when he's in doubt. He cannot just say, well, I'll bring it anyway just in case. However, a chatas ha'if, you may bring ala safik. So it's a very simple solution. He became an ani, and now a metzer ani will bring a chatas ha'if. So he can bring a chatas ha'if ala safik on doubt, on the tzad, that he is still obligated to bring a chatas, he's yaitza with this chatas haif. On the tzad, on the possibility that he already had his chatas karev for him, and he's really not mechiv a chatas, so at the worst case, he brought a chatas haif, and it was just ala safik. So, simple solution for the chatas. But there's still one more carbon we have to address. What about the asham? Now Rashi explains that regarding an asham, there's actually a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Can one bring an Asham when he's not sure that he's Mechuyiv Asham? Rabbi Shimon holds, yeah. He can bring an Asham and say, well, if I'm Chayiv, I'm obligated to bring this Karban, fine, it's my Asham. If I'm not obligated to bring this Karban, then instead of being an Asham, it should be a Shlomim. It should be considered as a Shlomim, Nedava, a donation to the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds, one may not do that. You cannot bring a asham al tnai. You can't condition it. The chachamim and the other shittas that disagree with Rabbi Shimon hold, no, one may not bring an asham al tnai. So now in this case here, when we address the oila, we address the chatas. However, regarding the asham, we're still stuck. What's he going to do with this material? He can't just bring an asham and say, well, it's al tnai. On the tzad, I'm a chiv asham, fine, if not, it's a shlam. He can't do that. On the other hand, we don't know if he had an asham karev for him. Perhaps the asham that was karev, amongst a set of karbanas that was karev, perhaps it was indeed his asham and he was yaitze. Perhaps it wasn't. So he has a suffix and we're stuck. Frank the Gemara, v'ik asham. What about the asham? We know that one of the karbanas mitzvah is an asham. What are we going to do with the asham? Amar Shmuel kishe karev ashamay. Evidently, we're speaking about a case where the asham was already karev, meaning one full set of karbanos was karev, the chatas, the oila, and the asham. And in addition to that, the second asham as well was karev prior to the misa of the mitzvah. So in this case, the asham was already addressed. There's no question regarding the asham. The asham's out of the picture. Now, the oila, we said, wasn't a problem to begin with because he can bring it and condition it. He can bring it if I'm a chiv, it's mine. If I'm not, it's an adava. And regarding the chatas, as we said before, he brings the chatas ha'if haba ala safik. So now, evidently, the fact that Shmuel needs to establish, needs to make an akimta, that we're speaking about that the asham was already karev, had already been brought prior to the misa, and it is not an etzah. You can't just go ahead and bring an asham al tanai. Evidently, Shmuel is following the opinion, the shita of the Rabbanan, who hold that you cannot just bring an asham al tanai. And therefore, he had to make an akimta that the asham was already karev prior to the misa. So now the Gemara has a problem with that. Let's give a little introduction. We know that a mitzera brings three karbanis. There's a difference between the karbanis of an asher and the karbanis of an ani. A mitzera who's wealthy, who's an asher, will bring three karbanis, behema, animals, achatas, an oila, an asham, all behemoths. An ani, a poor mitzvah, however, he brings an oila and an asham behemoths. regarding the chatos, he brings merely a chatos. Hoy, if he brings a bird. Now, let's picture the following scenario. The metzera was an usher, and he's bringing his korbanos, and they start the process of the akrava, and he's makrev one of the behemoths. Then, in the middle, somehow his economic situation drastically changes, and he turns to an ani. For instance, in the example that we had earlier, he gives away all his assets to somebody else, and he turns into an ani. Split second. Now, what about the remaining korbanos? Is he obligated, is he mechuyav to maintain his higher status, to continue bringing korbanos as if he was an usher? Or may he change over and lower his standard and bring just a korban ani? So we find a machlekes, a three-way machlekes in the Mishnah. What is kaveh? At what point does his obligation become established? Is it when he brings the chatos? Meaning at whatever economic level he was holding at that point, that establishes his chiv all throughout the rest of the kavanas. Is it the chatos? Is it the asham? Or perhaps the tziparim, the two birds that the mitzvah will bring in the beginning of the process of the tahara prior to the kavanas. So machlekes tanoim. Let's go back to the Gemara. Amrav sheshes. Gavarabu kishmuel leimo kihai milsa. Could it be that such a great man like Shmuel will say such a thing? Meaning, Shmuel said, yeah, you can't bring the Asham al Tanai, you can't condition it. Therefore, it must be speaking about that the Asham was already Karev prior to the Misa. Now, regarding the Chatos, Shmuel says, yeah, he's going to go ahead and give away his assets, turn into an Ani, and bring a Chatos Oif ala Safik, as Rav Shuva Hanani responded to the Anshe Alexandria. So we have everything covered. How could that be? How does this work out? How is this consistent with the shitas we find in the Mishnah? Again, Gavarabu kishmuel leimikah milsa. Come on, who is Shmuel following? Ik Rab Yehuda. Who was he following regarding the other question, regarding the establishment of the standard of Karbonis? At what point does his chiv become nikva? At what point do we establish, yes, you have to continue bringing this type of karbanos? At what point, at which karban is the kaveya? Ik Rab Yehuda, the Amar Asham Kava. Are we following Rab Yehuda Shita, which says that the Asham is kaveya? Meaning evidently Shmuel is following the Shita of Rab Yehuda regarding not allowing him to bring an Asham out tonight. So then is he following the Shita of Rab Yehuda regarding this question as well? That the Asham is kaveya? Meaning, if he is an usher at the time that he brings the asham, that determines the standard throughout all the other karbanos as well. If so, it won't work. V'kiven the kavala asham bashiris. In our case, sure, the asham was already brought prior to the misa, so we have no issue with that. He doesn't have to bring an asham al tanai. He has his asham. He was yaitze, full-fledged yaitze. Now, what about the chata? So the yaitze was, Rabbi Shmuel Chani advised him to give away his nechasim, turn into an ani, and now he can bring a chatos as if he was a poor man. But according to review, that won't work, because the asham was kaveh, being that at the time of the hakrovas asham he was an usher, he can't just switch over to an ani and bring a chatos ani. Again, v'kiv on the kavah la'asham bashirus le'imotzi ma'isi chatos v'dalos. He cannot go ahead and bring a poor man's chatos. This is not in Vlintin Mishnah. Metzora shehevi korban ani veheshir. If a metzora was an ani, he was a poor man, and he began bringing his korbanos in the middle, his fortunes changed and became an asher, or vice versa, asher he began as an asher veheni, and he turned into a poor man. So which one do we follow? At what point does his chiv become established? Hakol hoylich achar chatos. Whatever economic situation he was holding at during the time of the chatas, that is keveya, divrei Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon follows the chatas. Rav Yehuda Eimer, hakol hoylech achar asham. Everything follows the asham. Wherever he was holding at the time of the akrovas asham, that is the keveya. Rav Lezer and Yaakov Eimer, hakol hoylech achar tzipayrim. It is the time of the havas tzipayrim that is keveya. So now, is Shmuel following the sheet of Rav Yehuda? That cannot be, because Rabbi Yehuda says the Asham is Kaveya. And in our case, being that he was an usher at the time of the Havas HaAsham, he can't turn to an Ani and bring a Chatos of an Ani. So that's out. So now let's explore a different option. V'ik Reb Shimon. So suppose he's following the Shita of Reb Shimon, the Amma who says, Chatas Kava. Chatas is Kaveya. Fine. So therefore, we don't reckon with the Sha'as Havas HaAsham, but rather we focus on the time of the Havas HaChatas. So certainly a person can turn into an Ani and bring a Chatas Oif, because at the time of the Chatas, he was an Ani. But that won't work either. Because according to Rav Shimon, we mentioned, a person can bring an Asham al Tnai to begin with. Why then does Shmuel have to go make an Akimta that the Asham was already brought Kaidam Misa to avoid the problem of having to bring an Asham al Tnai? Well, if we're following the Sheets of Shimon, and we have to say that the Eitzah, the advice, will only work according to Rav Shimon, who says, Chatas Keveya, so why not go all the way with Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon holds that regarding an Asham, a person may bring an Asham Bisafik and make a Tanai. If I'm a Chuyiv the Asham, this is my Asham. Otherwise, it's a Shlomim. So how does it work? How does Shmuel's Akimta work? If it's Rabbi Yehuda, it won't work. If it's Rabbi Shimon, then why is it necessary to have brought the Asham prior to Misa? Let's see again. Vik Rabbi Shimon, if we'll go following along the sheets of Rabbi Shimon, the Amah Chatas Kava, what's Kaveh the Chatas? So in that case, Afagav Loi Kariv Asham, even if it's not speaking about that the Asham was already Kariv, well, still okay. The surviving Mitzvah has a very simple solution. What's he going to do? Neisi Yachar. Let him bring another Asham and make a Tanai, make a condition. He can stipulate. Why is that? The Asham Minah, the Rav Shimon, the Amar, Leisi, listening. We have heard that Rav Shimon's opinion is that a person may indeed do that. He can bring a Asham Besafik and make a Tanai. The Sanyo, Amar Rav Shimon, Lemachras. This is speaking about a Mitzvah who is a Safik Mitzvah. He's not sure whether he's mechuyev to bring the Karbanos Metzorah. So what does he do? Maybe Ashamay Velugay, he will bring the day after his Tvila, he will bring his Asham, his Lug of Shemen, so a certain measurement of Shemen that he needs to bring. Velugay, Uma Amida B'Shar Niknar, they put him by the Shar HaMizrach, by Shar Niknar, and over there they go and they mark him his Karbanos, and they put the Shemen, they put the dam on his thumbs, the whole procedure that a Mitzvah needs to undergo. Now, we're speaking about a Safik Mitzvah. So how can he bring an Asham? Says Rav Shimon, very simple. Umasna Olav, he makes a Tanai, he stipulates, Vayimer, Im Mitzvah, if I'm in a Mitzvah, Hari Asham Evelugimai, this is my Asham, this is my look, all fine and dandy. Vim Lav, but if I'm not a Mitzvah, Asham Zeh, Yeshal Min Adava, let it not be an Asham, let it be considered as a Shalmei Nedava, as merely a Shlomim that I'm donating to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, being that we don't know what the conclusion is, we don't know if this is a Asham or a Shlomim, so we have to apply all the halachas that are applicable to a Shlomim and as well as to an Asham. And therefore, V'oisei Asham, Ton Shchita Asai B'Tzafayin, Nir Shechtet on the Tzafan side of the Azara, like a Asham, and you need to apply the matanas on the thumb of the Mitzvah like it would be his Asham. Usmicha, and you need to do smicha, you need to lean on the carbon, which that is a halacha specifically for Shlomim only, and not Asham. Shlomim and other carbons, but not Asham. Unesachem, he needs to bring Nesachem like a Shlomim. Utnufa, he needs to do Tnufa like a Shlomim. Vechazei v'shoik, that as well is halacha by Shlomim, that the parts of the Kavan and Zechad V'Shay go to the Kehanim. These are two halachas that are Asham halachas, that it's only eaten two Zichri Kehuna, like Kache Kachem. Kache Kachem are only eaten two Zecharim Kehanim, and not two Nekevites. So this is a Chumrah that Asham has over Shlomim. Shlomim is a Kachem Kalam, which can be eaten also two Nashim, Neshe Kehuna. One more halacha is Liyam V'Layla, regarding the time limit of being able to eat the karban, we limit it only to a yom v'layla, which is the zman achila of a karban asham, which is a day shorter than the 2 days and a night, the shnei yom v'layla echad, which a shlomim has. So this is the conclusion of Reb Shimon's chiddush, that a person, a fellow who has a suffix of whether he's a mitzvah, and he's not sure whether he is obligated to bring an asham, simple, he brings a karban and makes a tnai. If it's an Asham, fine. If not, let it be a Shlomim. Chachamim did not agree to the Shita of Rav Shimon. Why? Why is that? Why can't he do the simple solution? Because we know that the Zman Achila, the time limit for eating a Shlomim, is Shnei Yamim Laila Echad. It is much longer, it's a day longer than the Zman Achila of an Asham. Now, what happens to this carbon after a day and a half, after a Yom Laila? he's going to have to burn it. He can't eat it because we're concerned perhaps it's an asham and now it's nicer. So in effect, there is a possibility that he's actually taking a kosher shlamim and he's burning it for no reason. Perhaps it's a shlamim and it's still edible. So by doing so, by making a tanai with this carbon, he is generating a possibility that he'll be taking a kachim lebeis apsul unnecessarily. That is the reason for the plukta of the Rabbanon on Rav Shimon's tanai. So in conclusion, we have a machlekes of Shimon Rabbanon whether you can bring an asham with a tanai. So now, back to our kasha. We had a case of two mitzvahim whose karbanas got mixed up with each other. They were already makir of one set of karbanas, an oila, a chatas, and an asham. One of the mitzvahim died. Now the surviving mitzvah is stuck. The oila, not an issue. You can bring another oila and say, well, whether I'm a chayiv or not, here's an oila, let it be a donation. That's fine. Now, regarding the chatas, we had a problem, because you cannot just bring the chatas that's here, because maybe it belongs to the mace, belongs to the mitzvah who died, and it's a chatas shemesu ba'aleh. At the same time, we can't absolve the surviving mitzvah. Perhaps he hasn't brought his chatas yet. We don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Maybe the chatas that was hukrav was actually his. Maybe not. And he can't just bring a chatas al safek. You can't say, well, either way, it's a chatas, it's a donation. You can't do that. Regarding the asham as well, we had a similar problem. A asham shemesu ba'aleh is lemisa. You can't be marker of the existing asham because maybe it belongs to the mace and it's an asham shemesu ba'aleh. At the same time, he can't just bring an asham and say, well, on the tzad, on the possibility that I'm chiv an asham, it's an asham. Otherwise, let it be a nadava. You can't do that. We're stuck. So Shmuel came up with a solution. Shmuel said, look, regarding the asham, we're speaking about evidently that the asham was already kara beforehand. So that was out of the picture. The asham was never part of the equation here. Why? Why is that? Evidently, Shmuel holds that you cannot bring an asham out tonight. You can't bring an asham and condition it. He was following the shita of the Rabbanon, who disagree to Rav Shimon's chiddush of bringing an asham out tonight. They hold you can't do that. The Atar Shmuel had to make a kimta, had to establish that the case that Rav Shimon ben Hanani was referring to was evidently a case where the asham was already cut before and was out of the picture. However, regarding the chatas, what's he going to do for his chiyuv chatas? Said Shmuel, let him, right away he's nechasim, let him grant his properties to another person, let him turn into an ani, and bring a chatas oif ala safik. Although, at the time of the hakrovas ha'asham, he was an asher. It doesn't concern us, because we don't follow the time of the hakrovas ha'asham. In order to determine the metzera's chiv, whether he's mechiv to bring the karbanos of an asher or the karbanos of an ani, how do we determine that? That doesn't follow the time of the havas asham, but rather the havas hachatos. Evidently, Shmuel is following the shita of Reb Shimon at the chatos kaveya. So we have a contradiction. On the one hand, he's following the shita's rabbanon who are chaylik on Reb Shimon. He's not following shita's Reb Shimon regarding the question of bringing an asham out tonight. And on the other hand, he's saying, well, the chatos is kaveya, which is exactly shita's Reb Shimon. How does that work? Answers the Gemara, very simple. Shmuel savala k'Rav Shimon b'chada, upala galei b'chada. Regarding one halacha, regarding the halacha of what is kaveya, which carbon is kaveya, which of the three things are kaveya, he will hold, like Rav Shimon, that the chatos is kaveya. But regarding the chiddush of Rav Shimon, that a person may bring an asham al tanai, he disagrees, upala galei b'chada, he disagrees with Rav Shimon on that halacha. So very simple. In conclusion, we basically have two discussions here regarding the karbanos of this material. One discussion is, can a person bring an asham min hasafik and make it tonight? Well, Rav Shimon says yes, Chacham say no. Then the other shayla was, at what point is it nikva? At what point are the karbanos of the material established to determine whether he is mechuyav to bring a karbanos of an asher or karbanos of an ani? There's a three-year machlekes. Rav Yehuda says the asham is kaveya, Rav Shimon says the chatas is kaveya, and Rav Lezer, Ben Yaakov holds it's not the chatas nor the asham, but rather the tziparim at the time of bringing the tziparim. Rashi explains that this is based on a sugya elsewhere that the Tanoim disagree regarding how to touch the Pasuk, how to translate, how to interpret the Pasuk. Asher lo yitzasek yodei b'taharasai. It's referring to an Ani who can't afford to bring a Karban Asher. And the Torah uses the word that he cannot afford b'taharasai. So Rav Shimon says, taharasai means davar hamachaprei, the Karban that brings him kapara, which is a chatas, and that is the Karban that determines his ability to afford a Karban. Rav Yehuda holds, b'taharasai is davar hamachshiroi, is the Karban that enables him, meaning the Karban that we actually apply to the Metzera, we take the dam of the Asham and we put it on his thumbs, etc. So that is what the Pasuk is referring to when it says b'taharasai. And Rav Lezer Yaakov holds that b'taharasai means davar hagorim le'tahara, means the initial state, the initial step of Tahara, which is the Tziparim, which enable him to bring the subsequent Karbanos of Metzera. So that is the determinant regarding the level of his Chiyuv of Karbanos. Continues the Gemara. Shleisha Divrei Agada. We just had three Divrei Chachma. Now let's move on to the three Divrei Agada that the people from Alexandria asked Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Kosev Echad Oimu, we find a stira, we find a contradiction. One Pasuk says, that Hashem says, Kali Ach Poitz V'mois HaMeis, I don't desire, I'm not chafetz when a mace dies, when even a rasha, when he dies. I prefer that he repent and improve his ways rather than just disappearing. We find another pasuk that says, Ki chafetz Hashem la'misam, Hashem does want them to die. So it's a stira. Rishon ben Chanani responded, Kan v'oisin tshuva, kan v'shein oisin tshuva. Very simple. One pasuk is referring to a person who did not avira, and he's not interested in doing tshuva. He's not involving himself in tshuva, therefore, chafetz Hashem lahamisam. However, if a person does involve himself in tshuva, in the tshuva process, in that case, surely Hashem wants him to come back, wants him to fix his ways, and of course does not want him to die. The next divrei agada that they asked him was, kosev echad oimer, one pasuk says, ki lo yisa panim, Hashem will not be noisi panim, he will not show favoritism. He will not accept bribes. There's no way to do that to Hashem. Hashem does show favor. We say this during, this is one of the psukim of Birchus Kayanim. So how do these two psukim jive with each other? So he responded, Kan koidim gzardin, kan la'achar gzardin. The pasuk that says that Hashem will not favor, will not accept bribes, that is speaking about la'achar gzardin, after the oynish, the gzera, the decree was already issued, there's no way to change that. Kan koidim gzardin? However, before gzardin, there is a concept of nesias panim, Hashem would favor somebody if he's deserving of it. Now Tosis points out that, based on the Gemara Brachas, which the Gemara Brachas is a very interesting story, that the Malachi Asher is told today, which they complain to Hashem, how could you say in the Torah, Yis Hashem Panav Elecha, how could you promise the Eden that you will find favor, they will find favor in your eyes, you will be nice upon him to them, you will show them favoritism. Doesn't it say in the Pasuk, Ki lo yis upon him, leikach shaychad? Exactly the same, it seems to be the same type of kasha that the people asked Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. So Hashem responds to them as follows. Hashem says like this, I wrote in the Torah, you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, and then you will bench. You'll say Berachas HaMazon. Meaning that the chiyuv to make Berachas HaMazon is only if a person actually eats enough to get himself satiated. V'savata. So min hadin, there's only a chiyuv Berachas HaMazon in that case. But the yidin go ahead and they do the fnei rishur hadin. Even when a yid, it's only a kezayis or a kebetz, a small amount, he's not yet full. He still goes ahead and he benches and he says Birchas HaMazon. So they're going the extra mile. They're doing Lefnei Rishur Sadin. Heich lo yaseh panam Yisrael. How could I not favor them? How can I not come towards them when they conduct themselves according to Lefnei Rishur Sadin and they come towards me? So Tosis points out that the concept of being noisy panam is strictly to Yidden, as it says in that Gemara. The concept of Hashem being nice upon him is only because Yisrael also do extra credit. So that only applies to Yisrael. That will not apply to Goyim. So according to that, Tosis just points out that when the Gemara here makes a distinction between Koydim Gzardin on the Acher Gzardin, that the concept of Nesias Panim will only apply Koidim Gzardin and not La'acher Gzardin. After Gzardin, perhaps there are other ways to tear up the Gzardin, but not through Nesias Panim, not through the concept of being Hashem, being Nesias Panim, finding favor in Hashem's eyes. So this halacha is strictly by Yisrael. By Yisrael, in a case of Koidim Gzardin, the concept of Nesias Panim will apply. Continues the Gemara. The third thing they asked him was, Hashem will choose Yerushalayim Tzion. This city aroused my anger and my wrath from the day it was built until today. How do these two psukim fit with each other? So he said, Samakasha. We know that Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Parai, and evidently that aroused the anger of Hashem. So Hashem is saying, before Shlomo went ahead and did that, certainly Kibach Hashem B'Tzion. Tzion was a chosen city. Kan, but the pasuk that seems to be speaking negatively about Yerushalayim is discussing the era of La'achar Shenasa Shlomo Es Bas Parai. So it's two different subjects. One is Kaidim Shnas Shlomo Bas Parai, one is afterwards. So in conclusion, we have three Divrei Haggadah that they asked him. Firstly, what about Hashem's desire for Russia to die? One pasuk says Hashem does, one pasuk says Hashem doesn't. The answer is, it depends if he's doing tshuva or not. The next question they asked him was, does Hashem show favoritism? The answer is, Achak Zardin not. And as Tosfos explained, because that's all because the Yidden behave accordingly, and they also go the extra mile to be mekayim, to be medaktik, to be stringent on themselves, to be mekayim the mitzvah Hashem. So they deserve this corresponding anhaga from the Eivishter. The third question they asked was, is Yerushalayim the chosen city or not? The answer was, Kaidim Shnasa Yerushalayim Es Bas Parai, it is considered Kibocha Hashem B'Tzion. However, afterwards, the pasuk of Ki'al Api L'Chamasi does apply. Let's continue the Gemara. Shloisha divir boirus. Three questions of nonsense. They asked him. Number one, Ishtar shaloit mao shetetami. Loit's wife turned into a mound of salt. Is that still considered like a person? Is it metame tumas meis? And a person who comes in contact with that is tame? Or do we say that now it underwent a very drastic, dramatic transformation, a chemical transformation? It's not human anymore, it's merely salt, and it cannot be matami. Mao, what is the halach? Mao is the tami. Amar lahem, so he responded to them accordingly, and he said, indeed, meis matami, ve'netziv melach matami. It's merely a block of salt, and certainly there's no tumas meis applied to melach. The next question they asked him, ben shunamis mao shiitami. There was an isha called the isha shunamis, who didn't have any children, and she got a child, Benes, and what happened was he died. And she went to Elisha, and she told him, you know, the child that came about through your bracha has now passed away, and he was Mechaye Mesim. So now the question is he still considered, does he still have a din of a mace? What's his status? Is he Matame? Is he considered a mace? Or is he considered a chay? Ben Shunamis Mao Shiitame. Amar Lahem, Mace Matame, Ben Chay Matame. He is definitely considered to be a chai and has no meis halachas whatsoever. One more last halacha, the question they asked him, meisim la'asad lavi efta tchiyasa meisim, what's going to be? Tzrichin hazor shlishi v'shvi? Are they required to undergo hazoras paraduma the third and the seventh day? Meaning, are they considered to be tzmei meisim? Whether it's because they died themselves, or as the Marsha explains, because perhaps they have come into contact with a mace when they were still alive and never underwent a proper cleansing process. Do they need it? Or yain tzrichim, are they considered like a berei chadasha, a new person, being that it's a new guf? So it has no relation to the old guf, and even if there was a tumah in the old guf, it will not carry over to the present guf. Amar lahem, l'kesheyachyu nechkam lahem. When tchiyas ha-mesim will actually occur, we'll delve into it and we'll figure it out. Ikad Amri, there's another version that he said, l'kesheyav v'moish rabbeinu imoyem. Certainly, at the time of tchiyas ha-mesim, we will be graced with Moshe Rabbeinu's presence and how fitting, what better appropriate person to ask such a question than Moshe Rabbeinu. Certainly he will be able to respond to us and instruct us how to proceed. The last classification was Divrei Derecheres. There were three Divrei Derecheres that they asked him. Number one, Mayase Adam Beyachkam. What should a person do to become wise, to become smart? Amalehem Yar Bevi Yeshiva. He should involve himself, increase his learning, spend time in Yeshiva. Beyamayat Beschera. And he should minimize the time that he involves himself in doing business. That's a sure way to become a chacham. Amru said, they responded to him, is that so? That's a magic formula. Harvi also came, many have tried this method, and they were not successful. Ella, so he responded and said, it must be yivak shurachmim, must be that it's not enough to do the yishtadus, to make the effort. You need to add another component, which is the component called yivak shurachmim. A person may make yishtadus all he wants, but he needs to daven, he needs to ask Hashem for rachmanus. He needs to go to the source of chachma and ask and beg Hashem to endow him with chachma. Shenemar, ki Hashem yiten chachma. Who gives the chachma? Only Hashem. Mipiv das esvuna. Das esvuna comes from his mouth. Taner abchia, mashal lemelech basar adam. It's a mashal to a king. Sheasa suda la'avodav. He made a banquet for his servants. Umishager lo'eyavav imashal lefonav. And to his favorite servants, his favorites, his friends, he'll go and he'll send from what's in front of him, meaning his personal portion, he will go and send to the ones that are close to him. Similarly, regarding being zoicha to chachma, chachma is mipiv, Hashem itan chachma, mipiv das esvuna. That is so connected with the Eivshter. As we know, we all know the famous line, Eireisa v'kut shabricha chadu, the Torah is so connected with Hashem. For a person to be zoicha, to acquire Torah, he needs to beg, he needs to ask Hashem, give me please, give me from what's yours, give me your personal possession, so to speak. If that's the case, if tefillah is so essential here, it is a required condition, precondition to be zoicha to chachma, so why then do we say yar bevi yeshiva, yemayat b'schera? Why is that necessary? A person should simply daven to Hashem, and that will be enough to receive the chachma. Maika mashmalan. What is he teaching us by adding those conditions as well? You can't have one without the other. A person needs to make ishtalos, he needs to make an effort, he needs to immerse himself in Torah and try to avoid distractions as much as he could, to be mamayit v'scher, to minimize and not to get over-involved in earning a living. At the same time, he also has to ask Hashem for rachmanos. You need both together, it's a winning combination. The second question they asked him was very similar to the first one. Maya se'odam yis asher. What should a person do to become wealthy? Amar lehem yar v'schara v'yis savit v'emuna. He should do lots of business and be very faithful and honest in his dealings. Amar loy, harbi also came lo'ilu. Many tried this and were not matzliach, were not successful. Elo must be, he said, yivakesh rachmim mimisha isha shaloy. He should go ahead and ask and daven to Hashem. Because after all, where is the money coming from? The Aisha belongs to Hashem. Shenemar. Liyah Kesev. Hashem is saying the money is mine. Liyah Zov, the silver, the gold. And the only way to get it is by asking it from Hashem. Person needs to make the ishtalos, but he needs to add a lot of tefillah. So again, the same question. My kamashon, why is it necessary to be Yarber Bischeira, Yisa Vitim Yamuna? Let tefillah be sufficient. It's not enough to have one without the other. A person has to combine his own efforts together with tefillah. The third and final question they asked him was, Mayase Adam v'yula banim scharim. What should a person do to be zoiche to banim scharim? Amar lehem, yisa isha yegenes loy. He should marry a woman that's fit for him, that is appropriate, that is on his level. V'yikadish atzoy b'shas tashmish. He should be mekadosh himself, sanctify himself in the time of Tashmish. And therefore, he'll be zeiche to have banim scharim. Amru, harba also came v'lo ha'ilu. They were not successful. Many have tried and were not matzliach. Ela must be, he concluded, that you need to add a component of tefillah. Yivakesh rachmim mimi shehabanim shaloi shenemar hine nachlas Hashem banim sachar priyabotan. The nachla is Hashem's nachla. are the children, meaning Hashem is the one that endows, that gives a person his children. You need to daven to be zeicha. You need to make ishtadlus, but you need to also daven a lot to be zeicha, to banim, scharm, to good children. Maika mashmalan, the habalai holai sagi, you need both components. You need to make the ishtadlus, yisa isha igenaslai, you need to kadesh atzmai, as well as tefillah. One more line in the Gemara. Ma'i schar priya botan. What is the pasuk referring to when the pasuk says that children are schar, are in the merit, are schar of priya botan? What does that mean? Amar b'chamer b'chanina b'schar shemashan atzman b'betan. The schar in the reward that a person is mash atzman, he refrains from being mazriya b'betan k'deisha tazriya ish t'chiloi. He arranges things in a way that he encourages the isha to be mazriya t'chila. And in this way, he is exhibiting a tremendous amount of self-control and strength of character, so that to provide the other person with pleasure. And that merit, and that reward, Hashem will give him children, bonim, proper children, good children, in the schar of his mitzvah, that he is being mahana his wife. The Chacham Sofer brings down that earlier in the Masechta, in the Aflam, the Gemara, the Gemara calls these people Giborei Koyach. Here down on the Flamar Alf from Rav, the Gemara refers to these people as Giborei Koyach. And the Chassam Sefer explains that, yeah, it does require a tremendous strength of character to exhibit self-control in order to provide another person with his needs. And therefore, the schar is tremendous. He's zeicha to good children. Amen. Ken Yerotzen. So in conclusion, these were the three things, three different derech eretz, that they asked Rishu ben Chananya. What, number one, how are you zeicha to Chachma? How are you zeicha to Eisha? How are you zeicha to Banim Scharim? And the response was, it's a multi-pronged effort. You need to make the proper ishtadlus, and you need to daven a lot. Regarding Chachma, you should be marba be yeshiva memayit beisik, and daven. Regarding Eisha, you should be marba be schera, and be noise be noise be emuna, and daven. Regarding Banim Scharim, you should be noise isha haygenesloi, and be mekadesh atzmoi b'shas tashmish, and the Gemara adds the point about being masha, to wait and allow the isha to be mazriya tchila, to get to her climax first, and as well as tfila, which is a very necessary component to everything. The Rasha points out that although the Gemara also seems to indicate that regarding bani chayim muzayni, these things are totally a mazel and not given to manipulation. However, the Rasha points out, it seems from this Gemara that were a person to make an extraneous effort, make the proper ishtadlus, show his commitment, and daven a lot, ask for the Eibush the Rachmanis, perhaps he can actually change his destiny, he could change his predetermined destiny, and be zeicha to something he wasn't even meant to get lechatchila originally at the time of his yitzira, and that requires a lot of effort and a lot of tefillah. Amen. Kein yirotzen.